It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Welcome to the Morning Skate. We are back at Sharks Ice at San Jose, and the San Jose Sharks are facing off against the Dallas Stars for the third and final time in this hockey season. Looking at the guys at the tail end of practice, Drew, people working on things. Got Kevin LeBanc, Giovanni Smith, and Mike Hoffman out there. And also on the ice, is that Mackenzie Blackwood over there? So we've got, no, it isn't Mackenzie Blackwood. That's Devin Cooley. Right. I mean, you know what's really weird? He's 6'5", so you automatically look over there and you see a 6'5" guy. Oh, yeah, it's Mackenzie. Yeah. But it's not him.
Yeah, and it's always the last goalie on the ice. The first guy off is the guy who's starting. It's funny when you talk about goaltenders as far as they never used to be as big as they are. They were always the smaller guys on the team. You know, a goalie back in the day when we first started being 6 feet, 6'1", 6'2", was a big goalie.
Now, well, back then a player being six feet was a big guy.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're all 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". And it's amazing how the goaltending position has changed and they've become so much more athletic. It's amazing. Kelly Rudy, former San Jose Shark, great now, an outstanding hockey commentator. I asked him once, what's the difference between goaltenders then when you played and goaltenders now? And he goes, we sucked. We were terrible. He said, look at some of the goals that were scored on me. He once said, and these guys now, they're just so good. They cover so much net. They're so athletic that the game has really changed in that regard. That's why we hold goal scoring in such high regard.
Well, as it once happened in professional wrestling with Arnold Skolin being the scientific wrestler, we've had scientific goaltending now. They're really breaking down the entire position as to what's needed. I think that they're reacting also to the changes in the game that have occurred with the size and the skill and the speed of the players, the fact that the trapezoid is back there. There's so many different things that go into goaltending, but the most important thing that hasn't changed is you have to have the head for it.
Yeah. You got to have the brain for it. You got to have the thickest skin imaginable. Nobody works on their game like goaltenders do. They try to perfect their craft as best as possible. It's become a much more coached position than it ever used to be with goalie coaches and goalie consultants, etc. But the big thing for a goaltender is, I don't know how you would describe it. You know, the short memory, or you know the Ted Lasso as goldfish memory, wherever you want to talk about it. You've got to be able to shake off the last goal. And you not even shake it off, you've got to be able to absolutely erase it from your mind. Jeff Hackett, who I absolutely adored when he played for the Sharks, he had a goal would get scored and he would turn, grab the water, spray his face, and then put his mask back on. I once asked him about it. He goes, I'm washing away the last goal. He had all these little mental cues that he would pick up on. My job before the game was to write three mental cues for him and just put him on his stall in tape, just write it on tape. And then, you know, and it was all something that he had to keep in mind as the game's moving forward. So goaltenders in their preparation, goaltenders during the game, goaltenders post-game are guys that really have to work, I think, more on the mental side than anything.
So if you're Devin Cooley and you think about your two games in the National Hockey League so far, how do you put that out of your mind? What do you take out of it? Where do you go from here?
Well, I felt really bad for Devin Cooley both games. But last game, I was heartbroken for him because he played again. I thought he played well. So there would be some discussion on some goals and what he should have done as far as maybe that first goal and the rebound should have been kicked out. Third goal I didn't like. The other two I didn't think he had much of a choice on. But I saw his mom and his family after the game right out by our office, and I walked over to her and I just said, my name's Drew Remenda, and she knows us because she's a Los Gatos lifelong Sharks fan. I said, he's okay. And she goes, he's just heartbroken right now. He thinks his NHL career is over. I said, it's not. I said, everybody has to go through this. I said, he's going to be okay. And I think what you see Devin doing yesterday and what you see Devin doing right now, only thing you can do is go back to work. Control the controllables. Go back to work, and that's what he's doing.
Well, and also the way you react to it. I mean, Jacques Plante once said, how would you like it if you went to work, made a mistake, and when you made a mistake, a red light came on in back of you and 18,000 people started booing you?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the last line of defense. Okay, but what goes into it? So, you know, where does that goal originate from, kind of thing? And that's our job to kind of point that out. But it's also for Devin to understand that it is a process. He's still very young in this league, and there's work to be done, and he will improve.
Tonight, the Sharks are playing a team that could theoretically win the Stanley Cup. But this is the time of the year when interesting things start to happen to the teams that you think can win the Stanley Cup. Look at the Winnipeg Jets lately. They've kind of taken a dip. And, you know, you look through, you know, you see the Kings now starting to play well. You see all these teams.
Avalanche is going through the roof.
Well, and of course, then there's the Nashville Predators, right, who, of course, refuse to see what you saw, the worst rock and roll band in history. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, well, the most pretentious, worst rock and roll band on the planet. Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean...
By the way, when the Grateful Dead night happens, are you going to be enthusiastic or not?
I wasn't ever a big Grateful Dead fan. If you ever have an AC/DC night, I'm all over it. But, you know, but Grateful Dead, certainly, I wouldn't put them in the band that I shall not name anymore, ever. Now that's,
I would hope not. I figure that, you know, it's going to be veggie burritos for everybody, and, you know, it'll be a really mellow night on April Fool's Day. Perfect day to have the Grateful Dead concert. You either have it that day, or you have the Grateful Dead Sharks Day at Chinese New Year. That'd be the other one, because that's a symbolic time that they always played.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they always had a Chinese New Year concert.
I didn't know that. Didn't know that. But as far as the league goes, I mean, Dallas has 97 points. New York has 98. The Panthers have 98. Boston has 98 or 97. Avalanche have 97, I think.
You got to memorize better than I do.
Well, I keep looking at it going, this is incredible. I mean, teams are just so close to each other, and there's so many good teams, and the Dallas Stars are no exception. Exceptionally well coached. They've got outstanding veterans. They're young guys, bring a lot of game. They are good in net. They're good on defense. They're good up front. And this is a very, very balanced team. And the one thing that Sharks are going to have to do tonight is own the middle of the ice. You and I talk about it all the time. But the middle of the ice, play from the inside out. That's going to be key, because they're a very good net front team. In the last couple of games, the Sharks have done that. But against Dallas, they've really done it well.
They're going to be missing Jani Hakanpää because he's out with an injury. And it was only a matter of time, the kind of hockey he plays, where he might get bumped and bruised. But from the Sharks' point of view, that's a good thing, because, boy, he has been very, very tough physically against the San Jose Sharks players. So
that's the other thing about them. It's a hard game to play against Dallas. They're a skilled team, but they're a physical, hard team to play against. And that's why tonight the Sharks are going to have to be as good as it, and honestly they were. I had a couple of conversations with David Quinn. He likes the way his team has played the last two games. They played hard the last two games. Now you just got to complete it.
But the one thing that they've done, they've managed the puck better. Way but what better. About game management, in the sense of whenever they've had a blip in their time capsule, and you're going to have them in the game, yes. It doesn't matter where you are in the standings, the other team's taking advantage of that. How can the Sharks turn that around and take advantage of the blips that come tonight? Because there will be some.
Buddy, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I guess I could just say, you know, the talent isn't there yet. But it is a mindset, and I've been there. You know, we've been there.
Yep.
When you're losing, something goes wrong, you go, oh, here we go again. It's something you've got to fight.
But the one difference with this team, as we consider tonight's 7 o'clock airtime for the Sharks and the Dallas Stars, is that they are not the Washington Generals of the National Hockey League.
No, they're not. And you know what? Like Mario Ferraro says, there's never a bad day in the NHL. These guys have not felt sorry for themselves. They have gone through a lot of adversity. They have not ever went, you know, there's been some nights, but they still have brought the effort A-plus all the way.
And we look forward to a great effort tonight. We're on the air at 7 o'clock Pacific. Sharks and Stars, that's the Morning Skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.